I want to ask you to open your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter number 1. Before the first hurricane, you have to number them, Hurricane 1 and Hurricane 2 hit. Before the first one came, I'd started a series on grace-based living, and I'm not back to that series yet. Okay, so we'll get back to that later. But I want to share with you, as we look at Psalm chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, some truths I think that I picked up just meandering around town recently. In Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." Hurricane Rita definitely left her mark on central Louisiana. You can't drive around very much and help but notice all the downed trees and all of the destruction. I'm very blessed to know that everyone that I've spoken to from our congregation, of all of them I've spoken to, none of you have suffered damage to your homes or to your property other than perhaps some downed trees or some limbs and a little yard work, which wouldn't hurt any of us. By the way, if anybody wants to help me come rake my yard, I'm just kidding. But we're blessed that we haven't suffered the incredible damage that we've seen in some places, but we are, one thing that we do see that's consistent everywhere we look are all these downed trees. You know, it seems like everywhere you look. When I was driving around on Saturday after the storm, we were seeing trees down left and right. Military Highway was completely blocked with several downed trees. Donahue Ferry had a tree that was partly across the road, and people were still driving underneath it. You're talking about some crazy people. I was one of them. But there were trees all over the place. Sousek Drive had trees blocking it. A lot of our main roads had trees that completely blocked the roadways. And then you had the trees in people's yards and the trees that fell into their neighbor's yards and their neighbor's fences or all of that. And it seemed like every tree had a different story. Every tree was a little different. And I began to ask the question, why do trees fall? Well, the simplistic answer is because a hurricane came through, dummy. But as I looked at the trees, I discovered that trees had different reasons for falling. Not every tree fell the same way. Not every tree fell for the same reason. And as we looked at this verse here, this scripture is one of many that compares our lives to those of trees. We'll be like trees planted by streams of living water. In many places we find scriptures comparing us both in metaphors and figuratively of our lives of being trees. So what I want to do tonight is share with you a little bit about why trees fall. Why do trees fall? And if we see why trees fall, we may be able to find in our own lives some areas of strengthening and shoring up so that when the next storm comes through, we won't be one of the ones that fail, but we'll be able to continue to stand to give honor and glory to God. Now, I have some photos I'm going to show you, and I didn't tell Madeline about it, but I have just a few photos. And I sent out my intrepid field reporters today to take some pictures of some of the trees in the area. So if you can show that first picture of some of our intrepid field reporters, these two gentlemen were my men on the street. And they went out and took pictures for me. And the first thing that they found as they were taking pictures of trees around town that were down, as John and Justin went and took pictures, the first thing they found, if you go to the next slide, is that they found trees with root problems. I mean, the number one reason that trees fall is because of root problems. And this is a classic example of a tree over on Ivy Lane that didn't cause any damage. It fell in Mr. Leonard Humphrey's backyard, didn't fall towards the house, it didn't tear down any power lines, it simply fell down. And if you look at the bottom of that massive 70-foot tall tree, there's about an 8-foot root ball holding a 70-foot tall tree. And so you can look at that and you can begin to understand that there's some sort of root problem there. Now, most trees have what's called a tap root. And what Mr. Humphreys told me yesterday when I visited with him was that tree had broke loose from its tap root. And that's why it fell. A taproot, generally speaking, is a longer root that has some strength. that has some depth to it. Now they'll have a root ball, but it's one root. It's the kind of root that, for example, when you go and pluck those dandelions up in your yard and you just break it off at ground level, a few days later there's another dandelion growing there because that tap root is down deep. Well, in this case, some trees have problems because they get disconnected from the tap root, and when the winds come, they don't have that strength. Some of them have a small root ball, and that's one of the things we see all over the place, especially with pine trees. You see a root ball that's not that big, and it can't sustain those huge winds. Sometimes you'll see roots, and show that next slide. This is actually a picture from a year ago, or 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago now that I think about it, when Hurricane Lily came through in 2002. And that young man there is 6 foot tall, so you can see how massive that is. But the problem was that even though that root ball was, 12 foot across, the tree was about 90 feet tall. And you do the math, there's some stabilization factors that just don't work right. If you were to look at the other side, and I don't have a picture of it, but if you were to look at the other side, one of the things you would find is that the roots of some of these trees had become intertwined in themselves. And the tree had become kind of entangled in itself, almost root bound. Have you ever had a plant that you had in a pot and you go to plant it in the ground, you transplant it, and it's root bound? It's like the roots have gotten all tied up in themselves. And these are all indicative of problems that we can have. There's lots of scriptures that talk about our lives and speak of the roots of our lives. If you'll allow me just to show you a couple of them, and I don't have a lot of scriptures tonight, but in Proverbs chapter 12, there's actually several verses in Proverbs that he talks about it, but just one. In Proverbs 12:3, he says, a man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved. And you go into the New Testament, and you can see lots of scripture where it talks about being rooted and grounded in love and being firmly rooted in Christ. And I don't have to give you many more metaphors to help us understand that root issues, the things that are not seen, the things that are below the surface, are often the things that can cause the most problems. And so if we want to understand how trees fall, the number one reason trees fall is because of root issues, root problems. Well, what are the reasons that we fall? Generally, it's going to be root stuff. It's not going to be surface level stuff. It's not going to be stuff that's visible to the eye, but it's going to be how are our roots. And as I look at these things, are we connected to the taproot of Jesus? Are we staying connected to that place that we know we need to be of feasting on His Word and soaking Him in and enjoying Him and fellowshipping with Him? Are we like that tree that's become so intertwined, the root ball has become so focused on ourselves, we become inward focused and focused on our own lives? Do we have a small root ball, that just a small foundation, the house that's built on the foundation of the rock, it says, but do we have a small foundation in our life and the breezes come along and knock us off? The issue is that we need to be rooted in Christ, we need to be rooted in His love, and this is the number one reason that trees fall. So I won't spend a whole lot more time on it. You understand it. I think you can grasp this. How is the root system of your life? How is the feeding system of your life? Are you sucking in that moisture? Are you sucking in that nutrient of God's Word into your life? Now, the next photo shows you a picture of a tree that's planted in the wrong place. And this tree is actually, you can't see it from this angle as well as I like you to, but this tree is actually right here on Pierce Road. As you're coming in from Military Highway, that large house that sits back off the road on the left, this tree is in that front yard. And if you'll notice, this is a big old hardwood tree of some sort. And right in the foreground, what you can see is a bunch of water lilies. You see those elephant ears or water lilies or whatever they're called? The problem with this tree is that it somehow ended up in the middle of a stream. You might think, well, that'd be a good place for it. Well, if it was a cypress, it would be a good place for it. But an oak tree doesn't need to be in the middle of the stream. It needs to be over on the side. It needs to be further away. The problem is that the creek came through there and began to erode around those roots, began to erode around the support system. And when the wind came, there was nothing left because it was in the wrong place. Jesus gave parables about the kinds of ground that the Word of God could be sown into. And we know about the stony ground, the rocky ground, the thistly ground, the good ground. So what kind of soil? Trees get caught up and sometimes you'll see a tree that's planted in some shallow topsoil. It looks like it's got a good root system, but the root system is about 8 inches deep. And there's clay down there and it can't get a good firm footing down below. And so these are opportunities for us to look at our hearts. The other was the issue of our root system connected to Him. But what is our heart? Jesus always compared the type of soil. Not always, but the example He used was the heart issue. What kind of heart? How is our heart? Does it need a plowing? Does it need some aeration? Does our heart need some kind of work to allow the tree to have the right kind of root system? We need to examine our hearts. Now the next tree and the next reason the tree falls, and I only have a couple more, but this is interesting to me. I hadn't noticed it as much as I've noticed it this time. And this time, as I looked around for the next slide, you'll see here's one example of a tree, and the reason this tree fell is because it was hollow. It was hollow. And this tree is on church property, right? This is in the front left-hand corner of the church, or from front right-hand if you're looking at it from the road. Massive oak tree, massive some sort of hardwood tree, and it looks wonderful, and it looks great, and it looks strong, but the problem is that no matter how good it looked on the outside, it was empty on the inside. Jesus spoke about trees or about people like this in Matthew chapter 23 when He spoke a woe to the Pharisees. A woe, not a W-O-A-H as in stop, but a W-O-E as in a warning. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 27, He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." You're hollow. You're empty. You look good on the outside, and the show looks like it's going on. But the truth is, there's the stench of death on the inside. And as I looked at this tree, our internet service came back up just a little bit before church. And so I was able to go on and do a little research on hardwood trees. And what I found out is that most hardwood trees, almost all hardwood trees, if they live long enough and grow large enough, will end up with a hollow trunk. Almost all of them will. Over time, the inner part of that tree dies and decay sets in. And what will happen is that through some break in the tree, a branch will break up high or down low or somewhere, bacteria and fungi will get in and will begin to eat at that dead heartwood of that tree. And if left long enough, even though it has the sapwood on the outside, that tree will be nothing but a hollow core. And it won't. You could lay your hand against it and fall through because it's eating out. It's being eaten from the inside out. I don't think I have to paint the picture for you and I very, very broadly. I think you're seeing it. The next picture is another example of a tree. Look at the devastation. Look at the horrificness of this tree that was on the outside so majestic and so beautiful, and yet was hollow. There was nothing to sustain. There was no core. It was not on the inside what it appeared to be on the outside. Now here's an issue. I can't take this allegory too far because a tree can't change its type. I mean, a tree is a tree is a tree. An oak is an oak is an oak. An oak tree can't say, "You know what? I realize I'm getting to be hollow on the inside. I need to change and become a pine tree." No, an oak tree is going to grow up and do what its nature is. But if I'm using this metaphor to speak of us, these are opportunities for us to examine ourselves and say, on the outside I'm presenting this, but is that truly what I am on the inside? You see, humans see the outside. That's all we can judge by. And generally speaking, we accept what we see. But then devastation comes and the inside is revealed. And so the question becomes, is there hollowness in our life? Is there are there areas of our life that we have allowed death to come in? Maybe there are some wounds in our life, like on those trees where a branch was broken off or an axe cut into it and never was finished, or someone wrote, "I love you," with a sharp penknife, and they wrote their girlfriend's name and then scratched it out and wrote their second girlfriend's name and then scratched that one out. And over time, through those wounds, death has entered in. People, you know, sometimes we can be wounded and not deal with those issues and not become healed, and then the death begins to work on the inside, and we don't know it until it's too late. We need to examine ourselves to see if the broken areas of our lives have been healed, or see if we've allowed them to rot and fester until we're nothing but a hollow core. The last thing that I want to share with you that I saw. The next photo is a clear picture of a tree that failed not because it had a bad root system. As you can see, the root system is still intact. And if you look closely at this tree, you would realize it was not hollow. It was solid. And this tree fell simply because the wind was too strong and it was too rigid. It was twisted. The winds that came. Look at the next picture. This next picture is actually, this picture here is of what happened before, but or happened recently. This picture you're looking at right now was when Hurricane Lily came through, and that's a tree in my backyard that actually landed on my neighbor's trailer. And you'll see that tree was snapped off. It broke. It snapped. And as I was looking at this other tree that had snapped, and I saw quite a few of those. There were trees that the roots were intact, they weren't planted in bad places and they weren't hollow, but just it was a massive devastation that came into their life. And I was reminded of a message that I'd preached back in 1997 called Lessons from an Ice Storm. We had an ice storm that came through town. I was living on Pennock Street at the time. And as one day I drove from my street, from my home to the church, the ice was heavy on all the trees. And at the end of my street, where Pennock runs into Arkansas, there was a small grove of young pine saplings, and every one of those trees had completely bowed over until the top of that tree was touching the ground. Completely bowed over. It had done a 180. That much weight of the ice had caused those trees. And yet when the ice melted, those trees stood back up and regained their strength and regained their posture and regained their former shape. And then I saw the other trees that were like the ones you just looked at. They were strong and they were tall, but because they were rigid and because over time they had lost their flexibility, because over time they had lost their fluidity of movement, when that strong weight came, they couldn't bounce back. And all they could do was break. You know, sometimes we can get so rigid and so legalistic in our thinking and our actions that when difficult times come or when God wants to do something new in our lives, we break. Now look, God doesn't change. We know that. But sometimes His ways of working, even in our lives, are winds of freshness that come in. But if we are rigid and stiff and resist that wind, we will snap. A perfect example is a man by the name of Peter. You remember the story when he was praying, God was using him mightily. He had revealed Himself to him. He had restored him. Even though this man had fallen and sinned against God and committed the ultimate sin of denying Him publicly and openly, Jesus has restored him, has brought him back into ministry. He preaches on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people are being saved. He goes to the next town, and everywhere he goes, miracles are happening, wonderful things are happening in his life. And one day he's praying and he's seeking God's face. He's a man of God, but he's become rigid in a certain area of his life. And the Lord speaks to him and he sees a vision of a mantle coming down, a sheet, a large cloth. And in this large sheet, in this large cloth, in this tarp, there are several different kinds of animals that he as a Jew would never eat. Pigs. Animals with the split hoofs. Animals that didn't chew the cud. And as these animals come down, he hears the voice, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." "Oh, not me. I'm rigid. I'm stiff. I know what I believe in." Even though the Lord years earlier had told them and taught them, it's not what goes into the body that defiles a man, it's what comes out of a body. Thus declaring all foods clean is what the gospel says. But he responded to this in a rigid way, in a strict way. "No, Lord, I've never had anything unclean come into my mouth, come into my body." And this happens three times, as we know. And three men show up knocking on the door, and the Lord taught Peter something. Look, you can't be rigid on those areas of conscience. You can't be rigid on those areas of grace. You can't be rigid on those areas of mercy. Brother Buddy shared with us on Sunday a powerful verse out of the book of James that, I'll be honest with you, I think I knew it was there. But if you had quoted this verse to me, I never would have told you it was from the book of James. Because when I think of the book of James, I think of a man who's trying to get the church to get off his rear end and do something. I mean, if you look at James, he says things like faith without works is dead. You show me your faith by your walking and talking. I mean, by your talking, I'll show you my faith by the things that I'm doing. Come on, folks. That's what he's saying. Stop talking those kind of talking. Get in there and do something. I think of James as kind of being a little rigid. But in James chapter number 2, as he's beginning to talk about an incredible truth he's trying to transmit to the church, about mercy and judgment, he says this powerful statement, mercy triumphs over judgment. James, I could expect Peter to say that. Peter had received mercy. James seems too harsh. But see, here's the truth. James understood he couldn't be rigid. He understood he couldn't allow himself to become so hard, fast, and set when people struggle and fall and have issues in their lives. We've got to understand that there's room for mercy. If not, we will break. We will snap when the strong wind comes. Why do trees break? Why do trees fall? Well, there are root problems. We all may have dealt with them at some times in our life, and I trust that we will continue to deal with them. Trees fall because sometimes they're planted in the wrong place. And we need to examine the planting of God's Word in our life, and how is our heart, and how are we responding to His Word. Trees sometimes fall simply because they're hollow. And we see that, and it becomes painfully obvious when that happens. We need to examine our hearts. Lord, am I allowing deadness? Am I allowing, and am I going to the Christian museum where everything is perfect on the outside and everyone has it all together? Or am I allowing myself to be real and allowing others to see the reality of God's grace and mercy in my life with the flaws and the cracks and the mistakes and the healings and the scars that are all indicative of His grace? I can be perfect on the outside and totally hollow. I will break. It's not if I will, it's I will. Or am I rigid? Am I unmoving? Am I inflexible? Am I lacking compassion? Am I lacking mercy? You know, as believers, there are lots of storms we're going to go through. There are lots of storms that we're going to face. I wrote down another one that, and there's lots of other reasons that that trees will fall. These are just four that I grasped, that I saw physical evidence of as I drove around town. I saw other reasons that trees break, and I couldn't really incorporate them all into the message. Sometimes a tree breaks because another tree falls on it and causes it to break. Sometimes we'll have others in our life cause hurts and pains in our lives that will be brokenness to us. There are other reasons you may have seen that trees break or fire comes in, and you could, you know, find reasons and find ways to incorporate this into your life. But I want us to look at the fallen trees around us and see, Lord, is there something you're saying to this tree? Because I'll sing, I'm a tree, I'm a tree. I'm a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I will trust in the mercy of God. Forever I will trust in the mercy of God. Now, you have to have been at Christian Challenge at least 18 years to have known that song. Lord has used so many pictures of trees in the Scriptures to refer, and I wrote down dozens of them, and I decided not to read them all, but I think you understand. Those are allegories. He used a tree to speak of Israel. He used a tree to speak of the new body, the new believers being grafted into the faith of Abraham. And so why do trees fall? Why do we fall? Well, root issues, heart issues, hollowness issues, rigid issues. Let's make sure we deal with these issues that we might continue to stand tall and give God glory and give God honor and let our lives be directed to Him. One of the things I love about trees is they're always praising God. They're always praising God. Some of those trees, it just takes a little bit of breeze for them to get jiggy all worshiping God. Some of those trees, it takes a hurricane for them to move. But trees are always worshiping God. I didn't mean to say get jiggy with it. I can't say that anymore? Okay, I won't. I'll delete it out of the teaching when it goes time to post it on the website. Actually, those who hear that will realize that I didn't do that. Wow. The issue is, though, our lives. These are things that we can look at. Jesus would use illustrations from everywhere around Him. He would point to crops or trees or fish or birds or whatever and use them to illustrate true lessons to us. Well, how about us? Can we look at the trees around us and can we understand how that happens so that we might be able to continue to stand? and stand you will, for God is able to make you stand. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you for your truth and your word, that you are able to apply it to our lives in ways that causes us to perhaps look at something we hadn't seen before. Just these simple illustrations, thank you for them. Help us, Lord, to examine our hearts and our lives. We don't want to fall or stumble or cause others to fall or stumble. We don't want to have these broken areas of our lives, but Lord, sometimes we do. So show us how to be healed, that we might rise again, to stand, that though a righteous man falls seven times, you will raise him up. Help us to be raised up, to worship you, to honor you, to glorify you. And help us, Lord, as lights sit on a set out in the public for the world to see, in like a city that's on a hill, help us to shine our lives in such a way that brings honor to you, that glorifies you. Father, I thank you for truth. Minister to our hearts. Speak your truth to us, that we might stand. Lord, make us stand. You are able to do that. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.